Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, parents, to the Impactful Parents Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their stories of inspiration and learning. Because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to be learning from our guest speaker, Dr. Sarah Allen. And Dr. Allen is going to be talking to us about the importance of teaching kids coping and adaptive skills so that they can be successful adults. Now, Dr. Allen has her own personal story of adversity, and she is also an international best-selling author to a book called Raising Brains. Dr. Allen is a mom, of course, and she has spent over 15 years studying neuroscience and brain development. So I'm really excited to hear what she has to say on this subject. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Allen.
Thanks so much for having me.
I want to start with your story. How did all this come about that you are so passionate about teaching coping and adaptive skills?
You know, when I started my journey to parenting, I lost three kids. They all lived about an hour. I was pregnant with my first son and lost him about 23 weeks. I delivered. And then I was pregnant with twins and then also lost them about 3 or 4 days apart. Again, they lived about an hour. And, you know, the first time that happens to you kind of kicks your butt, but I'm such a positive person and I'm such a kind of just pick yourself up by bootstraps and keep going that it just never occurred to me, I think, that it would happen again. And when it happened the second time, it kind of kicks you in the butt a little bit. And I, you know, took a breath and I got lucky and I got good doctors and I had, my daughter, Juliana. And then soon after that, my son, Carter. And, you know, things were going really, really well, but my son really had some trouble as he got older. He's a wonderful, sweet little boy, but he's a passionate little boy. And anyone who has a strong-willed or passionate kid, I call them spirited kid, knows that that goes both ways. And so for a long time, he had a lot of trouble controlling that emotion in him. And you already hear me. This is the way I talk about it. I think other parents talk about it more as my kid is obnoxious, they're obstinate, they're oppositional, they're disrespectful. And that's how it came across to a lot of people. And, you know, we worked really hard because it was my son and me, worked really hard to try to help him learn how to control his body and control his thoughts and control his mind. And I didn't really realize, you know, how much that would set him up to be so successful as an older kid. So now he's 9 and he has the emotional intelligence of a much older kid now that he's been through this. You know, we started this when he was probably 4 or 5 and we've been through this long journey. I remember actually a time I was standing in the kitchen with my mother crying because I just kept saying, wow, this is so hard. I just want to help him so much and he's having so much trouble. And my mom said, you know, you should take him to see someone. And that's probably when I started sobbing because I was the person that I was supposed to take my kid to see. And it's just really, really, really hard. And it takes a while and there's no magic pill. And so fast forward, you know, a few years and my family went through a lot. You know, my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer at 28 and she died at 29. So my kid's Aunt Nana was gone and she was such a great aunt to them. My mother battled cancer twice, you know, and then most recently I got a divorce, moved to a new town. The entire world shuts down. My kids had a few months in school and then that was it. And so for me, I just watched them. I watched myself go through this process. And I leaned back again on this 15 plus years of brain science that I had studied. I'm a neuropsychologist, so I do brain behavior relationships with kids, and I've done this for years and done parent coaching, but really didn't realize how much I was applying it to my own children and my life until the pandemic hit. And when that hit, I realized, wow, all of these skills that I've taught my son and my daughter really, really served them very well during the pandemic. And they were in a different spot than a lot of kids when it came to mental health and when it came to emotional wellness in general. And I started realizing, you know, other parents were talking about difficulties with their mental health of their children. And I was helping a lot of families. And the program that I had used with my kids, I didn't even know it was a program. really was helping all of these other parents too. And so that's how Raising Brains came about. And I just wrote it all down, and it was such a cathartic, wonderful experience. And I got to incorporate so many things that helped so many other parents and other families. And, you know, kids are my love. So anytime I can help a kid, it's a good thing. And so that's kind of where this whole program came about. And, you know, now my son is even able to kind of speak a little bit about what it was like, and he can recognize these things in other kids. And I put all of that together to be able to kind of support these things. So that's kind of my journey. I wanted to share that with the world.
Wow. There's so much there that I want to comment on. Let's just get started. So, first of all, one of the things that you said that really stuck out to me was we worked really hard. And as a parent, if you're listening to this and you're resonating with that, you have a difficult child, a child that's strong-willed or stronger, that's very spirited, whatever you want to call it. We worked really hard to overcome some of the obstacles. And it's that we that really makes a difference, parents, that it's not just your child learning how to cope on their own. It's not them just figuring things out as they get older with life experience. It's really a we. If the parent can embrace the hardship of what's going on in their household and just say, no, we're going to pull through this together, it makes leaps and bounds of difference. Now I say that and it sounds so easy, right? It's not. This is such not a thing. But I do want to point out that it's a we activity. I think that's really important.
Yeah. And on the flip side, it's not just your child, right? It's you also. It's the two of you together, right? It's a parent issue as well. And we want parents and kids working together, because our jobs as parents is to teach our kids how to do these things for themselves, teach them how to be introspective, teach them how to gain some awareness into what they're thinking and feeling, so that when they do become adults, they're capable of doing some of this for themselves.
And I love this. This is why I have you on, because we're right on the same page. I also offer a behavior management program, and it is definitely a we program. It is for the parent and the child to take together, because it's not just about the child learning skills. It's about the parent also learning some skills that help the child. And this makes you a better parent too along the way, because you're really learning, you're growing with your kid, and growing with someone is so much more powerful and so much more impactful than growing separately. So
And the management is so important, right? We want behavior management, and then because we need to have a household that runs, right? And that feels good for everybody, and that has some calm and some peace in it. And then after we have that under control, we also want to build these skills, right? So that's why I said it's both of you, because both parent and child, because mm-hmm. we're teaching these kids how to do it for themselves. And I think what happens is we sometimes miss that building skill independent piece in kids in general, with teachers, with parents, with myself. Sometimes I'm running so fast to get things done that I forget to teach. As parents, we're teachers also. And so it's so interesting when you make that shift and you start thinking about how can I help my kid help themselves? It brings up a whole new method of doing things.
You want to teach your child skills, and it's not just about managing the behavior that you're seeing at home. So it's not just about trying to make the bad days less. It's actually about teaching the kids skills so that you can empower them for future adversity. Right. And in the end, the result will be less bad days. But it's not about micromanaging the right now here behavior. It's really about skill set and giving our kids the tools they need to be successful adults. And I love it. I just love it. Love it. Love it. It's awesome.
And I find too, that when you're just working on those little details of the day, those are short-term solutions, right? You get a long-term solution, not just if we just talk about it from the parent's side, you get a long-term solution to peace in your household. When you take more of an approach, you just stick to the nitty gritty of day to day, you're really only doing short-term. And that's why you're feeling like you're walking on eggshells, like you're being disrespected, yes. Like your kids don't listen all the time. It's because
it's exhausting.
Yes, it just needs to shift a little. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exhausting. If you're micromanaging and living for the day instead of the long game, mm-hmm. that's an exhausting, gonna happen every week, exhausting cycle that you're going to be putting yourself in. Now I'm going to be asking you here in a minute some of the pointers and real solid tips that we can give this audience so they can start using some of those tips today. But before I do that, I also want to mention that I love that you said in your little introduction, I was the person that people were supposed to be going to, and this was happening in my home. Mm-hmm. And I just want to reiterate that because I made my behavior management program because of the things I had to learn on how to help my own children. Also, it happens. You are not alone, parents. It happens with parenting coaches. It happens with neuropsychologists. I mean, it's just everybody's home has a challenge, and it's really okay. The main thing is, how are you going to react to this challenge and how are you going to grow from it? And I'm encouraging you to listen on and really implement some of these tips that I know Sarah Allen's going to be telling us today. So let's get to those tips.
Sounds good.
If I have this strong-willed child and it is driving me crazy, mm-hmm. what do you suggest that I do?
Well, I have a couple of things. The first thing I want to comment back on, it happens to us, right? So I'm a neuropsychologist. I study brain for 15 years. But the reason that it's hard for me with my own family too, is for my first tip, which is that we all have a brain. Our kids have a brain. We have a brain and they look pretty much alike. And so what happens is there's a part of our brain called the amygdala. I call her Amy G because she's just so emotional, this Amy G. And the front of our brain, I call her Franny because I like to use names for everything. So we have Amy G and Franny. And when Amy G is freaking out and, you know, yelling and screaming, and Franny is trying to calm Amy G down, Franny can't also think logically and pull that new parenting tip that you learned out of your hat and try to put all the logical things together. It just doesn't work like that. And so because our kids, I always say we're passionate about our kids and our kids are passionate about pushing our buttons. We have this connection to them in that way. So your Amy G is going to go up. So the first tip is to just get some tools in your belt, understand the way a kid's brain works. And when you understand a kid's brain works, just even Amy G and Franny, you realize, wait a minute, when that kid is kicking and screaming and throwing their emotions at me, they're actually speaking with their behavior. And what they're telling me is that something is so upsetting to them, they don't know how to control their emotions. So when you start to be a little brain detective in that way, and you start to see things differently, that's going to help you control your own Amy G. So understanding your kid's brain, the first one, is absolutely the way that's going to help to shift your Amy G and calm your Amy G down, because we all want that. It's just that it's really difficult to do with your own kid. So that would be tip number one. And tip number two, just as a strategy to get there, would be to start asking questions instead of making statements. So my questions are always, what does this little brain need? And what can I teach this little brain? It's part of becoming that brain detective. So when you shift that and you start looking at that, you're going to start to see your kids in a very, very, very different way. And so, you know, when I developed my parent program, we really focus on just first understanding the brain and then moving on to these tips and tricks fairly quickly so that you can really get that good perspective of being able to target in and say, oh, I know what that little brain needs. And then you'll be able to have those tools to really get in there and get working. Because remember, we're trying to build skills. So as you're doing that and you're thinking, what does this little brain need? What can I teach this little brain? Now you're really in a different spot than you were before. And then the last tip that I would give is just to make sure, again, a neuropsychologist can't help it, always go back to the brain, but make sure your brain basics are set. So things like sleeping, eating, everything that you put in your body actually turns into the chemicals your brain uses to think. That's crazy to me. So crazy. So we want to really look at what we're eating and making sure, you know, low fat milks and cheeses. We want to get some good proteins in there, fish in there. And there's a bunch, I've actually written a couple blogs on it that I can give you too. And you can check out the chapter in my book about it. But those things are really important. Basically the healthy eating that you see, those are really important. Sleep. We know that kids who don't sleep actually can look like they're ADHD. They have these inattentive kinds of thoughts and behaviors to them. So we really want to make sure that sleep, and our brain actually goes through this cleansing process. And so all the fluid that surrounds our brain cleans it out. It's like when you clear your desk off for the day and you feel like you can actually think. That's what sleep does for the brain. And we know that people who don't sleep can actually have some cognitive issues as well. And so we're always looking at making sure sleep's okay. So if your kid's snoring or getting up in the middle of the night, you definitely want to talk to your physician about that, because that could be causing some cognitive issues as well. And then movement, of course, that's my big go-to. You know, make sure your kids are getting up and moving around. Make sure you're getting up and moving around. That also has not only this cleansing effect on the brain, but also stimulates a growth hormone in our brain. So it gives us more power to work with. So we really want to do those things. And the last one that sounds a little funny, but is actually a really cool brain trick, is to get routines and consistency down in your home, because that is what really, it's a brain trick. It's actually, we works from the center of our brain instead of the front of our brain. So I mentioned Franny, she is regulating our emotions. She is trying to help figure out what we're going to learn and remember and pay attention to. She's pulling information. She's got a major job. She's like the CEO of the entire brain. So she's got a lot going on. So anytime we can pull things off her plate and put them somewhere else, that's a good thing. And so routines are center of our brain. I call him the BG. He's a cool guy. He's like a little rapper guy, because he's always like doing the same thing over and over again. And kind of like riding a bike and those kinds of things. That's what BG does. And so routines and consistencies pulls that down. So it's a neat brain trick. So if anything's going wacky in your house, go back to your brain basics and see what of those tools that you can pick.
And my question for you, when I'm hearing all this information, what if I have a teenager? Oh. And my teenager and I, we're butting heads. We are just not in agreement. I'm going to call them very spirited. Mm-hmm. And as a parent of a teen, you don't have as much control over eating habits, even sleeping habits, and some of those things that you're talking about. So do you have any recommendations for parents of teens in a similar situation?
Yeah. So I love this question, because this goes back to that kind of two-way street we talked about. So, you know, with teenagers, especially, talking at them does zero, right? But working, trying to work a little more with them and giving them some information can be very helpful. You never want to get into this battle of wills, right? You don't want to get into this, I'm in charge, therefore you need to listen to me. One, it doesn't work. Two, if we think about what our goal is as a with teenage kids, it is to start to build their independence so that they can be on their own very soon. Probably too soon for all of us, because there's still some major brain growth that happens right around 18, 19. And remember, I mentioned Franny. Well, Franny and these kids are definitely not developed, but they have such other skills that they can go out into the world a lot more. They look a lot more functional. They just, their brains are still not developed. So
I want to make a comment on that yes. because that is, I think, the mistake that most of the population makes. You look mm-hmm. at a teenager and they look like a young adult, and you think that they need to act like a young adult. And they do. For the most part, they are very, very functional, amazing people. But as adults, we need to remember that their brain is not fully developed. No. And there are going to be some mistakes that are just going to happen due to that lack of being developed.
Yeah, definitely. And they have a lot of strengths, right? They can, I know this sounds silly, but they can talk, they can communicate, they can talk about their feelings, they can socialize with other kids, they can work, they can do all these things, but the front of their brain still prevents them, because it's not fully developed, it still prevents them from seeing long-term consequences, from holding back behaviors, tons of risky behaviors at that age, because they don't see the long-term effect. And that's not just because they're being oppositional, it's because their brains are not fully developed yet. So our goal is to start to plant these seeds. Remember I talked about asking questions young? This works here too. You know, I noticed you're feeling really tired today. You know, how was work? Were you able to get through it? Oh, okay. No, I read this article about this, or have you checked about that? And so to really start to give them information to use is really important. That being said, we also want to keep strong boundaries at this age, which feels so funny to do in these older kids, but is still really important. If your kids hate you as teenagers at times, you're probably doing the right thing, because they need you to be their frontal lobe. They need you to be Franny for a little while. And that is a terrible push and pull. It's a terrible feeling as a parent, but it keeps them alive. So that's a good thing.
And I love that responsibility, taking and being the Franny and being that for them when they can't be that for themselves quite yet. But
yeah, and you can still talk about it. So I don't recommend hiding anything from kids. Listen, you came home at 12 and your curfew was 11. The rules of the house are this, and therefore you need to, you can't go out for the next 3 nights. That's just the way that it is going to be. It doesn't mean we need to yell and scream. Those are the consequences. If you get pulled over by a cop, they give you a ticket. You know, they don't scream and yell at you as they give it to you. They give it to you. And so I think that's the way I would approach teenagers a bit more, and also talking through the thoughts and feelings associated with what's happening. You know, it feels really disrespectful when I give you rules in the house and you don't follow them. You know, that doesn't feel good to me, you know, and when you're living in a house and you're even just as roommates, you're going to need to do these things, because remember, we're prepping them for college, for work, for being out in the world. And so we want to make sure we're making the connections between our boundaries and what they're going to need in the future. Our goal is that they hear us in their heads. I mean, if you're hearing your, like I hear my mother in my head all the time. If you hear your mom in your head, that's a good thing.
And parents, I feel like those of you who are listening and have a teenager or even just a strong-willed child that doesn't want to hear you, a lot of the times it could be the way that you're coming at your child and approaching them. They don't want to hear lectures and they don't want to hear what they did wrong. But it goes back to the questioning that Dr. Allen was talking about, and really making them coming up with their own answers. You're just making it into the forefront so that they have to say the answer. For example, you came in really late last night, and today I see that you're lethargic. It seems like you're just not 100%. I'm a little worried about how you're going to do on your whatever, this test that you might be taking this afternoon, because you didn't get enough sleep. How do you feel? But you're asking them questions. You're just saying observations, maybe, instead of saying, well, you came in late and that was stupid. You know, now you're not going to do well on that exam this afternoon. Instead, it's coming from a place of, I'm concerned. It seems to me like I'm seeing this from you. This is how I feel. I see you acting. What is the consequence of that? But you're really letting them coming up with their own conclusions instead of making it so that you're barking at them. And if people are resonating with what you're saying and they want to find out more about Raising Brains or your program, how would they find out more?
Well, the best thing to do, you can always email me at Dr. Allen, DRALLEN at brainbehaviorbridge.com. You can always go to my website as well, which is brainbehaviorbridge.com. And there's actually links to both my books on there. I have an Everyday Woman's Guide to Doing What You Love, where I talk a little bit about coping and adversity in my life. And there's 50 other women's stories. It's a really awesome, empowering book. And then, of course, Raising Brains as well. So if you want to hear more about that system, you can purchase the book off of that website as well. And then if you're interested in the Little Brain Master Parenting Program, I'm actually starting a new round very shortly. So feel free to reach out to me. Email is easy, or you can go on my website and book a call and we can talk about whether it would work for you.
Thank you, Dr. Allen, for that amazing offer. And don't forget, parents, that the Impactful Parent also has a behavior management program that I would love for you to check out. This program is a DIY program. It is online. And the best part about it, you can find all about it absolutely free with my webinar. And this webinar is going to give you the 8 steps that you need to start seeing results in your child. So to go find out more about that, go to theimpactfulparent.com/webinar. And at the end of the webinar, I'm going to give you a free offer. It is called 20 Ways to Cope. This free PDF just for watching the webinar is a start to helping your child and learning all of those awesome skills that we're trying to teach our kids to be successful adults. So go and check that out. Again, theimpactfulparent.com/webinar. But until next time, parents, you got this. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.